3 children are dying every half a second. We could pile all their little corpses at their gates and it wouldn't make a difference. No, it's just us. Us small farmers, us kids, the teachers, preachers, First Nations people all over the world who are gonna wake up the world. We're gonna wake up the world. The days of free-for-all plunder are over, once and for all. Now, are you with us?
I mean, I think it's kind of scary. I mean, like, when I grow up, it makes me wonder if there'll be any water left to drink. And if so, how much will it cost?
She is one extraordinary young woman. I'm telling you, folks, her name is Claire. She's going to be in a play in Wortley Village tomorrow evening. She is a must-see. She's a must-meet. She's an 11-year-old girl, and in the next hour, you're going to hear a little interview with her about water. Joining us this morning, Pam Killeen. And, Pam, my apologies. Breaking news, of course, always takes precedence on the show. So we've had to start the show a half hour late, but that's fine because we have a very important subject to talk about, and that is tap water. And I want to start with our friend Claire. When I talked to her this morning, I said to Claire, we live in London, Ontario. We're a civilized society. We have this wonderful water coming out of the tap, and nobody thinks twice about it. It's wonderful, clear, clean, healthy water, isn't it? And the answer is, Pam?
Absolutely not. The water coming out of our taps is not potable water. It's filthy, filthy water. And this morning we're going to talk to a scientist who has tested London's tap water and can confirm all of the nasty ingredients that are coming out of the tap. And Professor Joe Cummins, a year and some ago, he did some research on the quality of our drinking water, and he too found, straight from the Ministry of the Environment, a lot of data that showed how filthy our drinking water is.
I just talked to a family in Lambeth who spent a couple of $1,000s to put in, I don't know what brand name they went with, but products to clean up the water. Can you get products that will entirely...
Andy, we're digressing from something that's even more important, and that is that our water should be clean from the source. That when we're turning on that tap and pouring water out of that tap, that water should be clean. It is a right for everybody to have clean water. It should not be a privilege. We should not be just skirting the issue by buying bottled water or filtered water or whatever the case may be. We need to do something radical to get our water clean from the source so everybody has that entitlement.
Wonderful. And I applaud you for saying that. But in the meantime, people are saying, can you get equipment to totally protect yourself from this stuff?
There's a lot of problems with the filters, Andy, unfortunately. That's a whole other subject.
Is that no? Is that a no? You know you can't fully protect yourselves?
Not really, no. In terms of your health, no.
Okay. Now, Heather. Oh, boy. Heather, every time I drive by Ingersoll, I look south and I look to the city of Ingersoll, and I think of Heather because she is one ball of fire. She's a mom. She's a scientist. She is a spark plug. I call her Erin Brockovich North. Would you introduce Heather Gingrich, Pam?
And this morning we have Heather Gingrich on the line. She is a medical geologist, and indeed she is our very own Canada's version of Erin Brockovich, and she's an expert on water. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Heather. Good morning.
Hey, I can hear you oh so faintly.
Really?
Okay, well, we'll work on that.
I can hear Andy, but I can't hear Pam.
They could hear me in Ingersoll even without a microphone.
I bet they could.
Heather, let me just ask you about water. Let's start it real simple. I talked to Claire this morning. We're going to hear from her in a play about water in Wortley Village tomorrow evening. Do we have a problem with our water here in London, Ontario, Canada, a home of civilization, one of the finest cities in the whole wide world?
Absolutely. And according to the data that comes from a variety of sources, including the Ministry of Environment, including Statistics Canada, including PhD and master's thesis research from, you know, public health research in, you know, Queen's University and places like that, we've known for a long time that we've got problems, but we just haven't been connecting the dots. And this is the big problem, is that it's nobody's mandate, really. It's nobody's job. It's like a hot potato. They just keep passing along. Oh, this is health. No, this is environment. No, this is whatever. No, this is a school board. And it's just not acceptable. anymore.
Did you watch the leaders' debate for the Ontario election? Because I did. I was screaming at the TV saying, why don't you talk about wind turbines? Why don't you talk about the million health issues? You must have been screaming at the TV. Why don't you talk about the water coming out of our taps?
No, I was screaming on the soccer field because I'm a minor soccer coach, and we don't actually have a TV in our home. So this is one of the things that I tell, because I have three young children, and they're boys. They're all boys. They've got a lot of energy, and my sanity just cannot afford for them to have too much screen time and not enough outside time.
Okay, so let me rephrase that. We just had a leadership debate in Ontario. They did not even mention, Pam, if you can believe it, the largest item in our budget is health.
Right.
It was not even mentioned.
Yep.
Jobs, economy, blah, blah, blah. Nothing about health. Health and our health issues is one of the biggest reasons why we're approaching bankruptcy in the province of Ontario.
And it's very difficult to be healthy without good quality water.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'm not going to say difficult. It's impossible. When you have poor water quality, poor air quality, and questionable food quality, it is not possible to be healthy. And so we have an election coming up next Thursday. You've got 1 week to sort this out and do some research. One of the things that we have to do as a people, because we get the government we deserve, and because we checked out of this for so long, we got all sleepy and snoozy and distracted by other things, we're kind of getting what we deserve. So for me, I do a lot of work within the political process as well. Most of my work right now is on policy. I'm not in the lab, out in the field scientist anymore, because I realize that this is where things were broken. So what the four horsemen of the apocalypse, in terms of why our wonderful, envy of the world Canadian healthcare system is tanking, is because we have failed to integrate four key areas, and that would be health, environment, education, and Aboriginal affairs. If we could just get those four key ministries together and say, hey, let's just talk about water. Let's just talk about this water problem, the fact that none of our schools in Ingersoll are serving up water that meets current, pathetic, inadequate and outdated drinking water standards for chemicals. And all of our little kids in full-day kindergarten with developing brains, they're drinking it. We have some really terrible school testing scores, and we have some really terrible absentee rates.
Well, let's start right here in London. London is the center of the universe, at least
of course, much of our...
And then we'll make our way out to Ingersoll.
We
go to Ingersoll often, usually to talk about how they can hardly keep up building all those wonderful Equinox vehicles at the Cami plant. But let's start right here in London. I'm thinking of one family in particular in Lambeth who they have spent all this money on equipment at home to try to protect themselves from pollutants in the water, but their child, their oldest child, now goes to school. What is the quality of the water coming out of our taps, which our precious wee ones are drinking?
Well, you know, we really can't say for sure, but what we can say, because they only test really for one thing, and that's lead in the water supplies. In schools in London or really anywhere else. So in London, we do have some information about that. And what we found is that there's 8 or 9, I've got a list right here, of the schools in 2010 and 2011. We have a chief drinking water inspector that was installed to make sure that a Walkerton-type event didn't happen again. And that person puts out reports. And what we found in 2010 and 11 was that even after flushing for, I believe it's 30 minutes, the following schools in London had high lead above the Ontario drinking water standard. And that was Chippewa, Lucas, Emily Carr, Westmount, Lambeth, Aberdeen, Prince Charles, and Oak Ridge.
Holy smokes.
Now
you have their attention. So let's go back over the two minutes that you just told us about. You're naming schools right in our city.
Yes.
Before we get to the names of the schools again, would you say that those schools reflect the situation across the city, since were these schools chosen at random?
These were all the schools have to, by law, test for lead coming out of their taps. That's the only thing by law that they have to test for. If there are other things coming in there, they're not going to be caught. And so that's sort of the problem. So the problem with lead is that it doesn't even really depend so much on what's in the source water, although that will have an influence. It has to do with the plumbing that's in the building. So those, I'm going to guess, I don't know London, but I'm going to guess that those are older schools.
Those are older schools.
With old lead plumbing, probably in the South End.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the reason why I say that probably in the South End is because London gets its water from two key sources. Most of it comes from Lake Huron. The north end of town comes from Lake Huron. And I've tested both, and the South End comes from Lake Erie. About 20% comes from Lake Erie, and about 80% comes from Lake Huron. Now, of course, you know London better than I do. Where do the rich folks live? Where do the economically challenged folks live? If you're in the middle, it's a mixed bag. Now, the problem with the downtown core area is it also tends to be lower income because it's older. And so there's a lot of rental properties, you know, landlords don't upgrade the plumbing, la, 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 la.
Okay, now you've talked about the lead in the water in the schools in London, which comes from the pipes in the schools. But let's push that issue aside, the lead pipes. What is the quality of the water coming into the lead pipes?
Well, this is a good question. So this is where we have to go now back to what are they doing at the water treatment plant? Well, at the water treatment plant, they throw in a whole bunch of chemicals. And it's a cocktail of chemicals. And one of the things, like some of them are to prevent corrosion in the municipal line. Some of them are to adjust the pH so that you don't have corrosion of lead pipes. And then other things we're throwing in because we don't have to, just because we're stupid and we got caught in a 1950s moment and we can't tell the difference between science and advertising, and that is water fluoridation. Hydrofluorosilicates, when you take lake water, like you do in London, and you add in fluorosilicates, it is guaranteed. We know this. It is established. It's going to light. If you've got lead anywhere in the system, it's going to pull it out. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for copper, zinc, and cadmium. So you're going to be pulling heavy metals that water encounters anywhere along the system. So, you know, you go to the city of, like, say, Ottawa. Like, I just did a presentation to the municipal council in Ottawa. And they're adding 8 chemicals, including fluoride, to the water. And I think 3 of them they wouldn't have to add if they stopped putting the fluoride in, because they're having to compensate for this kind of corrosive effect. You know, the fluoride, when added to water, it'll make that an aggressive solution, and it'll really go after your pipes, especially lead pipes. Not so much iron pipes. It'll do different things to iron pipes, but it'll really leach the lead out, iron, copper, cadmium, and zinc. So that's just what they're doing at the water treatment plant. And this doesn't even take into account the stuff that is in Lake Huron and Lake Erie. So when I looked at that using the drug doping analyzer, like, it still had the Olympic rings on it from the Vancouver 2010 Olympics. And this is a methodology that we should be doing everywhere that is so cheap and it's so well established. There's no reason why we're doing it other than we just don't want to know that E. coli wasn't the whole problem. We found in one of the lakes, so Lake Huron and Lake Erie really were different. So if you were getting most of your water out of Lake Huron, it was a little bit better. We had a lot of trihalomethanes, which are so what happens when you take some organic matter. If it's a lake, you're going to have like bacteria and algae just doing different stuff. When you mix it with chlorine to kill those things, you create sort of like a disinfection byproduct, an unintended chemical called trihalomethanes. And those you are associated with asthma, congenital heart defects, and preterm labor. So we have those. We also have some things that are very similar but slightly degraded, a fuel additives and veterinary anti-inflammatories, as well as some perfumes and some flavorings. So those are coming out of Lake Huron. Out of Lake Erie, we have the trihalomethanes again, because that's what you expect with a surface water source like that. We have some rodenticides, we have some herbicides, we have some fuel additives, we have some sedatives, xylazine, as well as some veterinary anti-inflammatories. Again, the flavorings and the perfumes, and an industrial solvent.
So you're finding rat poison in the lakes, and this rat poison, is it showing up in the tap water as well?
It would, because what we do at the water treatment plant doesn't remove any of that kind of stuff. The chemicals that they add and the processes that they use at the water treatment plant are basically to take the chunks out so that it's nice and clear. So if there's any sediment like you see in a river or lake after a big rainstorm, it's just because the silt and the particulates, you know, they're mixed up in there. They can, that can be a problem because radioactive elements and some chemicals like to hang on to those chunks, those particles. They're getting, looking for a free ride.
Heather, because we want to cover as much territory as we possibly can, let me cut to the bottom line as far as you personally are concerned. There in Ingersoll, you're saying it's so serious, you pulled your kid out of the local school, not because you didn't like the principal, but because you didn't like the water.
I pulled three children out of the local school. So the Thames Valley District School Board gets $12,000 per head to have of my tax money and your tax money to send my children to that school. And I can't have them there because, number one, we have water quality problems. None of our schools in Ingersoll meet current drinking water standards. And I did tests for the Ingersoll water supply. And because we get our water out of the ground, we had a different chemical profile, but it was just as scary. Just things that just should not be in there that have no business. They're like, oh, well, how much did you have? I'm like, I'm sorry, this is rat poison. Even a little is too much for my child. The other problem is that we have air quality problems as well in Ingersoll. Tons of kids with asthma because we have industry that has basically been able to operate not meeting air quality standards, not having any environmental protection for decades, and nobody is stopping them.
Okay, now I have to stop you for just a moment because we have to take a short break, and I want to just tee off on what you just said and ask you when we come back in just a moment. To draw a link between what's in the water that we get out of our taps in our kitchens and in our schools and the serious health crises issues that we have that Deb Matthews is totally oblivious to as we face an election 1 week from now. We'll be back with Heather Gingrich and Pam Colleen in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
I mean, I think it's kind of scary. I mean, like, when I grow up, it makes me wonder if there'll be any water left to drink, and if so, how much will it cost?
Claire, if you're out there, nobody says it like you do. 11 years old. Now, I want to set the record straight on something. Some people have the impression that Andy doesn't go after certain people. Hey, I've gone after the Pope! So let's go after Stephen Harper after this email from Mr. Pruill. Water issues. Once again, Andy, you protect your pals in the Harper government by focusing only on provincial responsibilities. I wish you had enough integrity to write me and tell me why you never look at the big picture. It is that you are owned by Bell Media. It has to be. Yes, every day, Mr. Pruill, my boss comes around, twists my arm and says, now don't talk about this. I'm just kidding, of course. Back to the email. I am going to start a blog on biases in the media this summer and would like to have you on record even if it's a refusal of comment. I value your opinion. Mr. Pruill, sit down because I'm going to knock you into your chair. Pam Colleen, take a run at Mr. Harper on this water
issue. Well, we've done it before, Andy. Remember we had Chris Turner on the show and he's written a book called The War on Science, and we were talking about the death of science and how the scientists here in Canada had that funeral right on Parliament Hill. Basically accusing Harper of muzzling the scientists and cutting back on procedures that would test water to show us just how toxic it is. So in other words, if Harper isn't testing the water, there isn't a problem, right? And that's essentially what's going on.
Okay, let's go back to Heather because time is quickly slipping away. Let me just segue into that issue, Heather. We have an election in Ontario a week away. Deb Matthews is busy collecting children's books, trying to deal with one crisis after another, has promised to deal with all of them, has fixed none of them. What about the issue of water politically? Are they even aware at Queen's Park and in Ottawa that we have issues?
I don't see how they can't not be aware because I've been there myself. And what I know is back in March of 2012, there was an entire delegation from Ingersoll that we gave them 3 weeks' notice. Like, we tried for 3 weeks to get them to meet with us. My 11-year-old did a press conference in the Queen's Park Media Studio saying, hey, we here in Ingersoll, we have problems. We know there are other communities who have problems like ours, and it's because we're not doing the proper testing and we're not making the environment and health link. Let's start doing that. And when we went, we only had two Liberals meet us at all, Deb Matthews was definitely not one of them.
Okay, Heather, we have about 3 minutes left. I really want to cover all of this. Can you just give us some bullet points to take away from this discussion? What should our health minister, Deb Matthews, know has Election Day about what her responsibilities are as health minister, what the issues are when it comes to the water in our schools and in our homes.
Okay, well, first of all, what she needs to know is everything sort of starts, you know, during pregnancy. And according to research out of Queen's University, London is right in the middle of a huge hot spot, a cluster of poor pregnancy outcomes. So they looked at six different things, you know, gestational diabetes, preterm labor. And what they found was in those communities that are getting lake water and they're adding fluoride and the water is already probably contaminated to begin with and we're dealing with some old infrastructure, you've got some terrible pregnancy outcomes. The best pregnancy outcomes come in places where they're not really tinkering with the water and there isn't that much industry around. So that's one thing. The other thing is children under death. The chief coroner released a report. Children under five death rates. Most of them are for undetermined reasons. So something like close to 69% of all child deaths in Ontario, when they did a coroner's report on it, they didn't know why the children died. They are blaming the parents by saying you put them in an unsafe sleeping position, but that doesn't explain everything. And they didn't even look at the water that the kids were exposed to. And then the other things is, as the children get older and you put them in schools, I think it's absolutely unacceptable that my taxpayer dollars go towards a facility that is no longer safe. You haven't tested the air, you haven't tested the water, and you know that the water doesn't meet standard because we wrote it up in our municipal water reports. Yet they have coolers in the staff room for the staff, but only because they pay for it themselves.
Wait a minute, the staff at the schools in Ingersoll get different water than the kids because the staff are afraid of the water?
Well, the staff are afraid of the water. And through their union, they said, okay, we'll pay for a cooler, but their unions, actually, the way that the Thames Valley District School Board is set up, they won't do anything for the kids. The unions, the staff members, are allowed to protect themselves, but they're not allowed to protect the kids. So, for instance, when I went in and I asked staff members to help me by getting samples of their water supply, it was like I was asking them to hide Jews during the Holocaust. It was scary, Andy. They're like, you know, I would really like to help you,
Heather,
need this job.
Let me bounce this email off to you from Jim. Andy, pull the kids out of school because of the water? She's a wacko. Same water goes to her house, etc. Don't drink it. If the issue is a contamination from piping, don't drink it. I fail to see the connection between the water issue and removing children from school. People are not, in every case, buying the message from you, Heather.
That's well, and here's the thing. Like, my husband and I are highly educated. We grew up in another community. We did really well in school. We have great jobs. We have a reverse osmosis system, and so we strip out everything that comes to us, like McDonald's does, like Starbucks does, like any major corporation whose water is, a prime component of their product. They don't trust the municipality. They don't want to get sued because they know as soon as the water crosses the property line, it's their problem.
Heather, we have just a minute and a half left. What's the number one thing we need to do to make our water safe?
We need to burn the testing list, schedules 23 and 24, and we need to do this kind of open scan testing that they do at the Olympics to try to catch the cheaters. And then once we know what we're up against, then we need to ask the question of, like, well, how did it get here? How do we stop them from putting more in? How do we take out what's already there? And how do we allow the system to heal and, you know, make the water that's coming in so that eventually the water is safe for everyone?
Heather, with so many of these issues, we always find, Pam and I, that we just give them the tip of the iceberg. Where can they find the rest of the iceberg?
You need to go to Katie's Play tomorrow. I will be there with all of the information that I have.
Excellent. It's 6:30, and it's the gathering on the green in Wortley Village, everyone. So it's 6:30 tomorrow night, and also 1:30 on Saturday.
Perfect.
Okay. And that, folks, is where you can meet these rabble-rousers who are saying all these nasty things about our water. Pam, if they would only listen, but as they... often say, there is none so deaf as he who will not hear.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And we have to do something about it. It's going to take a concerted effort at a grassroots level to fix this problem.
Really quickly, set us up for the next half hour. We have more rabble rousers.
That's right. We have a very talented young woman with us this morning, and she is the creator of a new play. She's an actress, director, and playwright. Her new play is called The Flood. And if you recall, we had her on before when she was doing the play To Be or Not To Be, and that was about the disappearance of the honeybees, and now she's doing another play on environmental issues. So yep. I'm very excited to have her here this morning.
And Ryan, just that little short clip, if we could. Water one is the issue. This young lady, folks, you have got to hear my interview with Claire. She is 11 years old, but probably speaks better on this issue than anyone I've met.
I mean, I think it's kind of scary. I mean, like, when I grow up, it makes me wonder if there'll be any water left to drink. And if so, how much will it cost?
Meet Claire. Meet Katie. Meet Pam Killeen and the loudmouth himself. All coming up on the issue of water right after the 11 o'clock news right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Hey.
That's right. It's 6:30 tomorrow night and 1:30 on Saturday. Katie Quinn is here with us this morning. She's the writer of this play and director. We've had her on the show before. She was the producer and writer of the play To Be or Not To Be, which involved the disappearance of the honeybees. And now she's working on another environmental issue, which is the contamination of our water supplies. So the play is on at Wortley, the Gathering of the Green in Wortley Village tomorrow night. And it's called The Flood.
Okay, let's hear it from you, Katie. Are you a playwright or are you a social advocate rabble rouser?
Well, I think both, really. I think I'm very passionate about taking care of our environment, especially for future generations and for the well-being of all beings on the planet, not just humans, but animals and all of these things, because they impact our well-being. And I think that I use my skills as a playwright to try and encourage others to think about these issues and inspire the participants and spectators to take action, to talk to their children about these issues and talk to their politicians and make their voices heard.
Well, it's fascinating that you would say that. We have an Ontario election a week away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And these are probably the most important issues facing us as humankind.
Yeah.
And the health issue was not even mentioned in the debate, which is absolutely shameful. So hats off to you for doing your part. Now, nobody gets this message across like Claire, the actress. I talked to her this morning just before she was rushing off to school. You'll meet Claire, the actress, and Claire, I was going to say little girl. She's not a little girl. She's incredibly intelligent and savvy and articulate. Just share your own thoughts for a moment before we hear a clip of my brief little interview with Claire about this young woman.
Well, she's an incredibly talented actress, and what's so unique about her is that she has an astounding grasp of emotional issues. Her emotional intelligence is, I would say, off the charts. I barely have to do any directing of her at all, especially when it comes to intense scenes. I mean, she has a scene in the play where she's trying to convince her best friend not to hurt herself, and she is so emotionally available and connected to her partner and to the audience, and it just shows that she has a very big heart, and her love for the environment is a reflection of her love for humanity, basically.
Perfect. Okay, I had this conversation. Tim, if you're ready to roll, I've called the audio clip Wow Girl. So let's hear from Wow Girl. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So kind of you to join us quickly before you run off to school. You're a busy young lady.
Yeah, well...
Claire, what struck me about you and this topic is you feel so strongly about water. Tell me why, because most people would think, hey, we turn the tap on, we get good water, it's healthy water, what's the problem? So, Claire, what is the problem?
Well, one of the problems is fracking. So fracking is the process of drilling and injecting fluid into the ground to fracture rock. And it's a really big problem. And so it releases natural gas. And so right now on the shores of Lake Erie in the U.S., fracking is releasing massive amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus into the lake. So this extra phosphorus is causing an explosion of algae blooms. And then the algae sucks all the oxygen out of the water, so nothing can live. Everything dies, the fish, the microorganisms, and then when the algae dies, it releases a chemical called microcystins, which is a very dangerous substance. It causes liver and kidney failure, cancer, miscarriages, yeah.
You know, Claire, I don't know what you find. When I talk to people, they don't have a clue about any of this. And these are adults. I can't imagine that when you're talking with your friends, they have a clue about all of this. I mean, there was an article in the Free Press recently about these huge, massive algae blooms in the west end of Lake Erie. I mean, this is a very real issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of scary. I mean, like, when I grow up, it makes me wonder if there'll be any water left to drink. And if so, how much will it cost?
So, Claire, you're going to be involved in a play tomorrow, in Wortley Village on the Gathering of the Green. Now, you have a very important role in this play, and you and I have agreed that you're going to share with us a short portion of the play. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, well, the play we're doing this weekend, the Gathering on the Green, is called Within and Without the Flood, written by Katie Quinn. And I'm playing the role of Katya, who is best friends with Grace. Grace's mother has just tragically died in a car accident. And at the beginning of the play, she has run into the woods. My character, Katya, runs after her to convince her to come home. So in the woods, they meet some mystical creatures who make them aware of the dangerous conditions in the lakes that provide our water supply. Mm-hmm. So this monologue is taken from a scene where Grace and Katya have just interrupted a town hall meeting, having returned from the woods with this important message about the water supply. So here it is. When you're old and you're dying, 50 years from now, do you want to look at your grandkids and wish that you had stood up and done something? We're standing here. Right now, asking you, begging you to make a stand for humanity. We can't do this alone. We know the corporations are powerful. Wall Street banks and billionaires are buying up the world's water as fast as they can, just so that they can sell it back to us at higher and higher prices. And if more children die, what do they care? They've got their yachts and their gold watches and castles. Three children are dying every half a second. We could pile all their little corpses at their gates and it wouldn't make a difference. No, it's just us small farmers, us kids, the teachers, preachers, First Nations people all over the world who are going to wake up the world. We're going to wake up the world. The days of free-for-all plunder are over once and for all. Now, are you with us? That's it.
Claire, that's amazing. Boy, you're a firecracker even at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to Pearson Singers, which is a choir.
Well, you're just off to school. What else are you into? My goodness, you're an actor, you're a performer. What do you got on the go?
Oh, well, after doing The Sound of Music in Oliver last summer with the Drayton Theater Company, I did To Be or Not to Be, written by Katie Quinn in September, and then I had the opportunity to perform in Benjamin Britten's one-act opera called The Little Sweep, which was a collaboration with my school, Pearson, and the UWO Opera Workshop.
If there is an actress on stage or in the movies who you most admire, who is it?
Oh, I think Leonardo DiCaprio.
Is that because of his acting abilities or because he's a sweet-looking dude?
Because of his acting.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He is a good-looking dude.
Listen, you're running off to school. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be sharing this with our audience a little later this morning.
All right. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Claire. There she goes off to school. Collaboration, Tim. That's a word I looked up just last year. Here she's 11 years old. Katie, this is one amazing young woman who is sharing one amazing message.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's part of a cast from Lester B. Pearson.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There are four other children in this play, and they're all, it's kind of amazing. They're all equally as talented. I can't wait for you guys to come and see it, because we have one girl who plays a very funny lobster, Boris the Russian Lobster, and she's just a hoot. And you'll die if you see her. She's very funny.
Good.
I've never met an 11-year-old girl who can lecture the world on pollution in Lake Erie.
Well, I think that has to do somewhat with the fact that the content of the play is very sophisticated and complex, and it contains all of this scientific information. And together, as a group, we look at the information, we discuss it together, and they learn these ideas through doing the play. So it's a learning experience, an educational experience for them, and they gain the tools to speak confidently about these issues, more confidently even than some adults.
Now, these are extraordinarily talented kids,
yes,
about 11 years old.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because I was just thinking of, should it be a goal of ours to have all of our 11-year-olds speaking with this kind of knowledge and ability at the age of 11? I mean, you wouldn't get adults to speak with this kind of knowledge and ability yet.
Yeah, well, I think that that's just shows the problems that our society has right now because of environmental problems, nutrition problems, societal issues. That's why we're seeing adults who can't speak with so much clarity and authority. But truly, you know, why can't we have a humanity that's full of people who are equally as talented and driven and passionate and full of ideas as this 11-year-old girl? That's what I want
to
see.
We have to take a short break, and then we'll be back to wrap it up. I just want to give people a takeaway, as we do, from because when we tackle an issue, there's a lot to absorb. Mm-hmm. But if you could, with Pam, nicely package this up so people say, okay, I'm going to think again about the water that's coming out of my kitchen tap and mm-hmm. what I need to do about it. We'll be back with that in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
I mean, I think it's kind of scary. I mean, like, when I grow up, it makes me wonder if there'll be any water left to drink. And if so, how much will it cost?
22 minutes after 11 o'clock. Pam, I always have a sense of where our audience is at. And I know some of our audience turned the dial on this issue and said, what's the problem? There's got to be a lot of bigger problems out there than the water coming out of our kitchen tap.
I have seen the actual test results that Heather has conducted on our tap water. And the water is filthy, absolutely filthy. She's not exaggerating when she talks about these chemicals, these drugs or drug residues that are showing up in our tap water. It is not clean water. And I can't emphasize enough, it is virtually impossible to be healthy if we cannot get clean water.
Absolutely. It's the issue is number one when it comes to your health is the water.
But it's invisible, you see. People don't see it necessarily. They don't necessarily smell it or taste it. But it's definitely there. That water is not drinkable water.
And especially in the context of all the health issues that we have mm-hmm. today with the doctors and researchers saying, we don't know why this is happening. We don't know why this is happening. Katie, I want to ask you about writing this play, The Flood, mm-hmm. Within and Without the Flood, which is going to be on tomorrow night at Wortley Village. I mean, obviously, you feel very passionately about this.
Yes, I do feel very passionately. I think that, you know, it's very alarming to me to see these rising rates of depression, autism, ADHD, obesity, leukemia in our kids. And the truth is that kids are the most vulnerable to these issues because their bodies are made up of 75% of water, whereas adults are only half water. So if there are problems in the water, it's the kids who are going to suffer first. And they're like the canary in the coal mine. And right now we've got so many issues with our kids. And it's just, you know, and all of this is leading to social problems as well, because if you've got mental issues, you're more likely to turn to substances like alcohol and drugs to try and control your mental problems. So, and that leads to crime and all sorts of other issues in society. So I really think that it comes down to these factors in our environment that we can't ignore them because they're affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And you're one of London's best kept secrets in terms of being such a talented actress, director, playwright. I don't think very many people in London know who you are, but you have an incredible history in the arts. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history in the arts?
Well, I started performing when I was a child with my parents, and we actually traveled quite extensively in Europe and throughout North America. We performed in Taiwan and Germany and Belgium. And so I started when I was a little kid, and I actually identify with Claire in many ways. We're actually quite similar, and she's very passionate about being an actress, and at the same age, I believe that I wanted to be an actress too, so I've spent my whole life working in the arts, and I've trained extensively. I just finished my MFA in acting at York University, and I've trained in Paris, and I lived in Argentina studying tango there, and so I appeared off-Broadway in a play with Cynthia Nixon, and now I'm really excited about creating my own work. That's sort of where I've come to in my journey as a performer. I'm still acting, but I'm most passionate about writing, because I really think that we need to be talking more about these issues, especially with kids, and kids' plays can't just be about, you know, fun and silly things. We have to educate our kids so that they have the tools they need to address, you know, this changing world that is going to be, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 20, 30, 40 years in terms of climate change and all of these other issues. So they need to have the tools so that they can
address informed decisions and do something about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we have the election next Thursday.
Yes.
If you had 2 minutes, 2 minutes with Deb Matthews, would you finish this sentence? Ms. Matthews, I know you've been promoted to deputy premier. I know you're such a muckety muck and a big shot. But we have a health crisis which you don't seem to know about. Here's what you need to know in the next 90 seconds.
Well, I think that we need to think very carefully about the testing issue. We need to test our water for more than just 57 chemicals, and we need to take action when we find problems, even if it's going to cost money, because sometimes people drag their heels because of money, but this issue is going to impact our future economic stability in this country, so we need to take action now. So I think testing is one of the most important issues, and then also not allowing our water to be commodified for private gain, because what's happening in other countries is there are corporations that are buying up water and then they're selling the water back at higher and higher prices. And I've heard, I read in Maud Barlow's book that there are people in these places in Africa and South America who actually turn away from healthy water because it's too expensive, and they go for the water that's contaminated with cholera because they just can't afford it. And I don't want to see that happen here in Canada. I just think, you know, we're above that. Like, we can make sure that all of our people, no matter where they live or what they do or what their economic status or racial status is, that we all have clean water, because the future of our country depends on it.
I agree.
Pam,
well
last,
said.
Last word goes to you, Pam.
Well, I think what we should do is just encourage people to go out and see this wonderful play. It's tomorrow night. It's at the Gathering on the Green in Wortley Village. Mm-hmm. It's on the corner of Elmwood and Wortley. You know that Monsignor?
Monsignor Feeney Center.
And it's got a new name now. I don't know if we...
The city just bought it.
But at any rate, it's at the Gathering on the Green, Wortley Village.
And 6:30 p.m.
6:30 tomorrow night. But not to forget, it's on Saturday at 1:30 as well. So two opportunities for people to go out and see this wonderful play.
60 seconds. Wrap up everything we've said in the last hour.
Well, I think we need to get people more involved on this issue. We can do many things to start cleaning up our water supply. One of the easiest things we can do is stop the addition of hydrofluorosilicic acid, or what we call fluoride in the water. If we can stop that, the sooner we stop that, then we can at least clean up our water somewhat, because unfortunately, as Heather was talking about, adding the fluoride to the water makes the water more contaminated, simply because fluoride will grab at things like lead and copper, and it contains other elements like arsenic. So we got to stop adding that to our city water. And then we have to do, like Katie says, we have to do more due diligence in terms of testing the water to see what other contaminants are in there. And then we have to come up with viable solutions to clean the water. And there are viable solutions. There's things like constructed wetlands, perhaps, that could be implemented. There's other strategies that can be implemented to start cleaning up our water supply.
Terrific. Folks, we hope you got the message. We need to think more, research more, and most of all, get our politicians involved in cleaning up the water coming out of our kitchen tap. Katie, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank
and have fun with the play tomorrow night and Saturday.
So
and say hello to Claire. Pam, thank you so much. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have the very latest